My past experience work has been one of the harder topics because it's not a simple geometric quantity. It's this physics quantity, and so it's harder sometimes to get the intuition, I guess, for how you're supposed to slice things up.
Okay.
It's like the stuff we've done with surface area and volume, in that you're going to have something and you cut it up into a bunch of little pieces, so to speak. But it's not literally cutting up an object into pieces now. Now it's more like there's some process and you cut the process up into little sub-processes in some way. So this is the physics concept of work. And so if you have some object and then it moves, okay, over to here, some displacement delta x to the right in my picture. And all the time that during that motion, there's some force F on it. Right? Maybe it's moving, you know, because it's being pulled by a rope or something. Okay. And the F is the same. Throughout. Now what we do is we define the work W to just be the product of that force multiplied by the displacement. And notice that there's another thing, the force is points in the same direction. As the motion. And you're going to the right, the force points to the right. If you had it going the other way, then we define it
like in negative direction.
Going the other way, then that's your situation. I know some physics, so I can tell you a bit about it. I mean, this seems completely arbitrary when it's given abstractly this way, but I mean, it is a reasonable thing to do because when a force is acting on you. In this situation, it gives you additional kinetic energy, increases your speed by this. This is the actual energy gain. And now, if there's no other forces in the picture, then this would mean you were actually accelerated by the time you got over to there. Unless there was some other force that was like this one that was taking away some of your kinetic energy. In physics, the units of force times distance are the units of energy. So if you have, you know, so
common situation is like, I don't know, imagine, think of a box and you're pulling on it with a rope or something, right, to try and match this picture. And the force, you're pulling on the rope with, say, 10 pounds of force, and you move the box 5 feet.
So how much work have you done on the box? 50 foot-pounds of work. Now, probably, after you pull it that far, the box doesn't have any more kinetic energy than it started with. It probably started still and ended still. The reason is because as you were giving it your 10 pounds of force this way, friction was giving it some force in the other way. And at some point, the box is actually moving, so the friction may not have always been exactly 10 pounds. But the total energy balance probably adds up to zero, because you do some positive work on it, friction does some negative work on it, and so there can be more than one force involved.
Are we going to use constants like wood, the friction of wood on the floor and stuff like that?
If there's a physical constant, I'll give it to you.
You forgot the last page.
Oh, whoops.
Since it's not a physics course, I would tell you stuff in physics you need to know. Okay. Now, there's no calculus here, really. If you're in this situation where you're moving in a straight line, the force is pointing in the same direction, opposite direction, and the force is a constant magnitude. It's always 10 pounds of force or something. Where the calculus comes in is if you have, maybe the force is not a constant. Maybe the force starts out stronger and then gets weaker. Or maybe it's not just one box that you're moving around. Maybe you are taking some object that you could think of as having many different parts, and you do different amounts of work on the object. So a common example they make up for this sort of thing is you have a cliff, and there's you, and you, for some reason, you have a rope, some length L, and you're going to, how much work is required to lift the rope?
What does that L stand for?
The length of the vertically hanging rope.
Oh, he's pulling up the rope.
Yeah. Okay. So you're bringing it where your position is.
Let's say that the rope weight is, call it F. Weight is a force, right? How much is gravity pulling down on you? Right. And so, how much work is done here? Well, the catch is, we don't have the whole rope down here, and then we lift the whole rope up to here. Right? If we had the whole rope down here and we lifted it all the way up to here, then the work done would just be F times L. Right. That's how much work we would do. Gravity would be doing negative work as you pulled it up, because gravity points down. But the work we do in lifting it up would be F times L if all the rope was down here, all the rope there. But rope is not all down there. Right?
So
some of the rope is here, some of the rope is here, some of the rope is here.
So So you're saying that the where it touches almost at the bottom, that's the end of the rope?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. The rope stops there. I'm keeping it simple, just so we can just think of it as just a straight line. How much work does it take to lift the hanging rope? If the whole rope weighs force F, something in pounds, you know, and then we have some length there and some number of feet, right? How do we figure out how much work it takes to lift the hanging rope up to the top there? Well, probably.
Just an idea.
Well, speed's not really. Speed won't really help us because there's other forces involved. Yeah. So probably the rope is hanging and still, no speed. Then you're holding in your arms again, no speed. So no change in speed because all the work you did, gravity did exactly the opposite work, right?
Okay, yes.
You know, if you did 1,000 foot-pounds of work, gravity did negative 1,000 because gravity was pulling in the opposite direction. So
yes.
So that won't help.
What about force times the change?
Yeah, well, so we can't just do F times L because different parts of the rope move different amounts. So we have to cut up into little pieces.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
It looks so simple.
Okay. So we're gonna have a little piece here. A little bit of piece. A little bit of rope. B L. Right? If you don't like, maybe we should use, I don't know, how about we have a coordinate system? That might be better. So we could call it dy, all right? Dy y equals L at the top, maybe. Y equals 0 at the bottom. It's kind of arbitrary. You could have y equals 0 here and y equals L at the bottom, or y equals negative L at the bottom, but some kind of coordinate system. Help us keep track. Okay, so a little bit of rope, dy there. How far do we have to lift that rope?
No.
L minus dy. Mm-hmm.
So we're at some, most of that rope is at roughly the same y coordinate. Let's call it y. So
L minus y.
L minus y. Now, if you don't like the L minus y, then you should have done a different coordinate system where maybe L was here and 0 was here. So that could just be y. But it won't make much of a difference. The integral is going to be pretty easy either way.
Is it the same if you make instead of y, L minus dy? Or that's completely different?
Well,
it's basically the same. But
I mean, okay, here, if you imagine, say, the y-coordinate is at the top of the segment, then here it would be L minus y, and then a little bit further down it would be L minus y minus dy, uh-huh. Right? But we're going to do the trick where let's assume that dy is really small compared to this L minus y, so we're just going to approximate it as L minus y for the whole segment.
Thanks.
So it won't. So up to some tiny error, it's not going to matter whether the y is at the top of the segment, the bottom of the segment, the middle of the segment, because the segment's supposed to be really short. Okay. So we're going to pretend that we're moving this whole segment up L minus y. All right. And so then the question is, how much does that segment weigh? Well, the whole rope weighs F, and its length is L, right? Now, our segment has length dy and weighs what?
dy times l?
Well, dy times l would be a length times length. That's an area.
F times dy over l?
Yes.
Can you make some sort of like proportion?
Exactly.
Because because...
You
can make a proportion. Mm-hmm.
You make a physical assumption. You assume that the rope is equally dense everywhere. It's not that up here the rope is made of polyester and down here the rope is made of copper. It's the same. You assume it's the same linear density, or whatever you want to call it.
The material is
the same. So we'll assume that the ratio is the same. So force or weight per length is the same. So that we're going to make a reasonable physical assumption. The rope has got the, the rope has got the same kind of thickness and the same material throughout. So that's our assumption.
Yes.
So we solve for the weight.
Mm-hmm. Which is F times dy over L. Well, that's what it was.
Times dy over L.
Yeah.
Okay. So our the weight of our segment is this. And this is the correct units. We have force divided by length times length. So it's still going to be a force.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there we go. Okay, so let's call the work done on the segment dw for a little bit of work. It doesn't really work to think of this as difference in work, just kind of a little piece of the work that we're going to add up. So what happens to this segment? The segment goes up and up and up and up and up and up and up. And all the time, we're going to have this force on it. Okay. So we imagine cutting the rope into a very large number of small segments, except not really cutting them up, just sort of somehow we think about a bunch of tiny segments and we think about what happens to each segment. And so we know that approximately, right? Technically, the displacement is not exactly the same, but it's very close, right? If it's a really short segment. So we have this little approximation here. As long as the segments are really short compared to the whole length of the rope, then you'll only be off by some tiny percentage.
So you integrate that on the work?
Exactly. Okay. So the total work, let's call that W. Move over here. So we're gonna add it all up, and to get an exact answer, we take a limit of more and shorter segments. Let's see, what was it? Trying to copy my phone. There's my. We need limits of integration, right? So it seems like the variable in question seems to be this y, right? So we make every slice
at some y coordinate. Okay? So the range of y coordinates at which we might slice goes from 0 up to L.
That's the range of places at which we'd have to slice to get the whole rope. Make little segments. could be near 0, could be near L, could be near some number. Alright. And if you don't like the L minus Y, there's an easy U substitution you can make now. Basically, if you realized you chose your coordinate system poorly and you regret your decision, now you can, there's still a chance to change your coordinate system with a U substitution. This will make the integral slightly easier. You can do the integral about this substitution, but I think it's a little. All right, so if we change this, let's see. If y is 0, then u is l minus 0.
That's 2.
Which is just l. And if y is l, then u is l minus l, which is 0. L minus y, u. That's why I did the substitution. That just becomes a u. And then that's just one term. And let's see, there's a negative sign there. So I'm going to flip the limits of integration to get, and that'll cancel out the negative sign. And if you don't like writing the du in the middle, I mean, it doesn't matter, but if you really don't like it, you can switch the order. Multiplication is commutative. Du times u is the same as u times du. It means the same thing. Add up a bunch of u values times tiny du lengths multiplied by f equals l. Take the limit. Smaller and smaller du. Okay. Now this one we can do, right? The antiderivative of u is u squared over 2. And there's a constant multiple that comes along for the ride. The answer that you get is that 1/2 of force times length of rope, or 1/2 of weight of rope times length of rope, which makes sense. You could have imagined, well, the average distance that you pull the rope up is, you know, in the middle, right? Yeah. If you're a foot below the middle, you have to do, you know, some extra work. But if you were a foot above the middle, you wouldn't have to do as much work, and the differences cancel out. So it's not surprising that we get 1/2 there, because you could have imagined, you know, just the rope, imagine the rope kind of being, you think of it as like, imagine everything was at the average position of the rope. And since there's all that symmetry to the situation, rope is equally thick everywhere.
When you change the position of the limits, you did it by adding the negative du, right? Like to put that on top and then zero the bunch?
Yeah, I flipped the limits and that undoes the negative sign, right?
That's our final term.
In this one, yeah, I just gave symbols for the length of the ropeway, so you can't go any better than that.
Okay. Sure. So whatever they give us, you just plug them in. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I've given you actual numbers, like the rope weighs 10 pounds and the length is 100 feet, then you would get 500 foot-pounds. Yeah. Or if I did it in metric, you know, the SI system, I could have said the rope weighs 5 newtons, and the clip and the rope is 30 meters long, and then you get 75 newton meters, which are also called joules.
Yeah.
I would go so far as to call this kinematics. I mean, we're not really studying the motion. We're just sort of, you're doing some accounting. We're adding up a bunch of force times distances. This is more like energy conservation type stuff. You know? We're keeping track of how much energy is transferred.
Yes.
The work you did, that's you transferring some energy to the rope.
Do you see it?
Okay.
So it's
not really kinematic. We're not saying anything about how the rope is being lifted. We're just saying that you lifted it.
I know. I was making sure.
It can actually be easier than kinematics in many ways. Because you don't have to know anything but before and after. Yeah.
So the reason why you why we changed L0 to 0 to L was so that you could take the negative from the negative du, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. this is a very general. Right? If you don't like the order of the limits, or you don't like a minus sign in there, and you flip it.
Yep.
Again, you didn't need to do a U substitution if you didn't want to, because this limit is so, I mean, the integral is so simple either way,
yes.
Right? You could have done it like this. And right, antiderivative of a constant will just be, so a variable is y, so L times y, and here you have y squared over 2. Kind of ran off the edge, didn't it? If you didn't like the U substitution, you could do it this way. Be a little bit careful about all the negative signs in there. But in the end, you're still going to get the same thing. So you can play this slicing game in a more complicated context. So if you look in section 6.4, you'll see some examples where it's about, you have a tank of water in some funny shape, and you want to say, remove all the water.
Right.
Or if the tank is down low, like it's a, I don't know, you want to pump all the water out of a pool or something, how much energy do you need to do that? Or maybe it's up high, it's a water tower, and you want to take water from ground level and pump it up into the water tower. How much energy do you need? So, let's see. What? So, like, how much should water weigh? Right?
Yeah. Oh, like, you molar, once you get the mass.
Like
the
molar mass? Molar mass?
Like oh, you don't want a molar mass. You just want something like weight per,
Weight.
So, like, let's say we did it,
18 grams.
18 point
something
grams. All right, guys, you took chemistry. We get it.
All right. Let's see. All right. Water weighs. Now there's a distinction between weight and mass, which can also trip you up.
No wonder.
So okay, for example. If you have a, here's something, imagine a cubic meter of water, okay? A cube, this is like a huge fish tank, about 39 inches wide, 39 inches that way, and 39 inches tall. Cubic meter of water, very heavy. To be precise, 1,000 kilograms, okay? To about 3 or 4 significant figures, okay? But kilograms is mass. So that's the issue, not force. Multiply it by Earth's gravitational acceleration, at least surface gravitational acceleration, and there's that 9.8 factor. Okay.
9,000.
Now, actually, and it's not kilograms anymore; it's newtons. Kilograms is math, right? And you can convert these things to pounds and feet if you like, right? A newton is, I mean, like the conversion is about 4.5. I think it's a 4.5 ratio, but I don't want to take all day about this, so think about it as just this for now. We'll just do the metric one, more about a unit conversion rate. All right, so spherical. Spherical tank, it has a radius R, let's say 8 meters, okay? Big tank. Okay? Imagine this is a water tower or something. Alright? And let's say that we have some, I'll call this H, some height here. Let's see, if that's 8 meters, this, I don't know, should be, call it 15 meters.
That's from when it's being pumped up, right?
Yeah, imagine this is a water tower, you know, so like there's some supports or something here. And that's confusing. let's forget about the supports. We don't.
Yeah.
It can be a floating water tower of anti-gravity, I don't care. Yeah. All right.
Anti-gravity.
All right, anyways. Okay, what are we going to do? We're going to just think of one pipe that goes up to the bottom, okay? And then maybe it turns and goes in there, right?
to right to the bottom of the sphere, all right? And so we're going to send some water up pipe H, and then it's going to go up into the tank. Okay.
So let's say this is the ground level. How much work is needed? So think how much energy is needed to pump, let's say to fill the tank. So starting from empty. With water from ground level, right? So you have some water down here. And then we pump it up height H, and then depending on how far up it goes into the tank, it has to go some additional height. Okay? So I'm going to set up my coordinate system. I'm going to try to be clever about it. This time, I think I'll have Y go from positive R to negative R. Imagine. Of course, trying to get some symmetry of my sphere baked into my coordinate system. Okay? Now, what we're going to do this time is, instead of, you know, imagining slicing the rope, we imagine slicing up all the water inside the tank after it's full. Right? And ask yourself, you know, say if we had some little bit dy here, that makes a corresponding slice here. Right? Of a whole bunch of water, how much work did it take to get all that water that used to be at ground level, how much work did it take to get it all the way up there? Let's see. You're going to have to pump that water up the height H, then you're going to have to pump it up height R, and then, since this, at least for a positive Y value here, you're going to have to pump it up some height Y to get up to there.
Okay. At what point would you have to do Y minus dy? Or not?
We're going to assume the dy is small so that Y and Y plus dy are roughly the same. It's the approximation trick again.
Okay.
So the dw, the little bit of work for our slice, is going to be roughly R plus Y plus the H, right? Times the weight of our slice. And so for this, we need, what are we going to do about this? Well, we have this formula, kind of a weight density, if you will, how much weight per cubic meter. Okay, so if we could figure out the volume of the slice, then we could figure out how much it weighs. I'll just call that, say, dv for a little bit of volume. And then we're multiplying it by 9,800 newtons per cubic meter, right? Okay. All right. So this is kind of like the slicing we did on Monday now, right?
Yes.
This is just the disk. So if we could figure out the radius of that disk, we could just... we'll just pretend that the radius of that disk is approximately constant, and then we'll use pi r squared for a circle, and then thickness dy. So we're going to pretend it's a cylinder. That's our little bit of approximation. I mean, we know it's part of the sphere, so this actually goes out a little bit wider as you go down, but we're making this approximation. We need to figure out that radius, though.
wouldn't it be 8?
No.
4.
Well, imagine this is really near the top.
Oh,
it would be a really tiny disk. If it was right here at the equator, at y equals 0, it would be 8 meters.
Yeah.
But it goes from really small all the way up to 8 meter radius, all the way back down to 0 meter radius. So it depends on y somehow.
That changes. You're getting whatever radius you have at where the zero is and subtract it with the R. And the one in between.
The radius at dy.
The way it looks like. Would you do some sort of portion again?
We're actually going to use the Pythagorean theorem.
What?
Okay.
What?
Do a vertical slice of the sphere. You just need to do this to understand what's happening, okay? Imagine, we make a slice that goes straight down, starting at the top of the sphere, think of it as going like through the prime meridian. All right, so kind of like slicing it just right down the middle, but instead of slicing it, horizontally, we slice it vertically, but right down the middle. So we get this big circle, okay? It has radius r. This is still y equals 0. This is still y equals r. This is still y equals negative r. And then here is our little slice here, right? So if the slice goes right through here, so I get just a little bit there. It's like a line going right through there. Okay, so it's just a little rectangle now. And then we drop this down, we get a right angle there. This is y. Okay. So that's the formula.
Wait, so you went from this that kind of a volume, and you cut it where? You actually cut like a slice vertically.
Yes, vertically. Yeah, right down the middle. I lost it. It'll survive. Good eventually. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah.
Oh, and then
slice right here. Yeah.
Okay, so you basically got it.
It's hard because it's 3D, but yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So you think of what's the diameter of this thing? Right. So you imagine making a slice of along, this that goes along this diameter. Okay? All right, so there's if our slice goes right along here, then we get that little r there. But then we think of it as being inside the sphere, but that vertical slice of the sphere is a circle. So now that we get our Pythagorean theorem, because we know that if we go out radius r, we hit the edge of the sphere. That's the big r, the 8 meters. Then this thing, that's our other r that we're trying to figure out. Now we have our right triangle there.
Will the other two angles be 45? So you can maybe use laws of sine to get r?
Well, the angle is going to depend, right? If you're wondering about what this...
That seems like 60 and the other one is 30.
You can do it that way. If you want to do it that way, then you'll end up looking at angles, and you'll get r. I mean, if you make this the angle, then little r is big R times the sine of theta. All right, and you can do it that way, and then you end up doing an integral where theta goes from negative 90 degrees to positive 90 degrees. So you can do it that way. I already set up this way, but your way will also work. Don't worry. But this is the key.
Whatever may be, so.
I think that's easier. That's a better level of mathematics.
They both make sense.
Yep. Because you have three sides of a triangle.
I mean, the issue is though with your method, you're going to have to that sine of theta thing. you know, if you have an angle theta there, you're going to have to then either, if you want to integrate over that, you have to change the dy into also, you know, a theta expression. So you have to solve for y in terms of theta, then take the derivative of that. So
that's why I didn't go that way.
It felt like a little bit more work to me. And this will, and I'd have to integrate this, I think, squared sine function. So I think this is the easier approach. So you do some geometry, and so now we have a volume formula. Yes, it's really just an approximate volume formula, but, you know, we're taking a limit of better and better approximations. Okay, so you have to put all this together, right? Your volume differential, this density constant, and then that goes into the weight, and then you multiply that by how far you had to lift that that weight, right? Or that slice. Right? You lift a slice that has a certain weight so far. So you can put it all together. So now the work is this integral, right? Y goes from negative r to r. You have h plus r plus y times pi times r squared minus y squared dy times that constant. And you can check that the units actually work out. So you have newtons divided by meters cubed. dy, you can do that, that's a length, so units of meter. R squared and y squared are units of meters squared. H, r, and y are all in units of meters. So you have meters times meters squared times meters. So that's 4 powers of meters divided by 3 powers of meters, so you get a meter. So it'll be newtons times meters in the end.
That's great.
Okay. And so that's it for today. I'm not assigning any homework today. I'm going to do some. We'll do some more stuff tomorrow with this, and I'll assign some homework on it tomorrow.
Thanks for the listening.